Now come closer and hear these words from the Gospel of Luke. Consider how the lilies grow. They don't work or make clothes for themselves, but I tell you that even Solomon with his riches was not dressed as beautifully as one of these flowers. God clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today, but tomorrow thrown into the fire. So how much more will God clothe you? Don't have so little faith. Don't always think about what you will eat or what you will drink. And don't keep worrying. All the people in the world are trying to get these things, and your Creator knows you need them. But seek God's kingdom, and all your other needs will be met. Here ends the reading. Thanks be to God. Consider how the lilies grow. Jesus starts this whole passage asking us to consider how the lilies grow. Well, I have considered how the lilies grow. They need water. They need nutrients. They need soil and sunlight. And they are completely dependent on the weather or on someone tending to them to stay alive. If they don't like where they're planted, well, too bad. They can't pull up their roots and shuffle on over somewhere else to find a different spot. If it doesn't rain or if someone doesn't water them, they will suffer and will most likely wilt. There are a lot of variables that go into lilies growing, and there are a lot of outside sources they are dependent on in order to keep growing. And yet, they don't worry. They don't worry about any of that stuff one single bit. They just keep growing and keep on flowering. What a great attitude these lilies have, right? That's a great attitude. And now that I've considered just how those lilies grow, I can see Jesus's point. We also depend on many things in our lives. We depend on shelter and food and water and light. We depend on medicine and nutrients and other people and God and love. Thing is, we worry about it all. We fill our heads and our days and our sleepless nights with worry. We are not like the lilies. And Jesus knows this. Jesus knows we worry. He was here. He came, he walked around, he saw for himself how we do this. And he said, don't always think about what you will eat or what you will drink, and don't keep worrying. All the people in the world are trying to get these things too. God knows you need them. So stop worrying about them. Instead, seek God's kingdom. Seek the kingdom of God, and your needs will be met. That's what he says. But it's not always that easy, is it? Asking us to not worry is like asking us to take a huge leap of faith. It's like the 10-year-old boy who decided to study judo, despite the fact that he had lost his left arm in a devastating car accident. But the boy began his lessons with an old Japanese judo master and was doing quite well, but he couldn't understand why, after 3 months of training, the judo master had taught him only one move. Sensei, the boy finally said, shouldn't I be learning more moves? The sensei said, this is the only move you'll ever know, and this is the only move you'll ever need to know. Well, not quite understanding, but having faith in his teacher, the boy kept training, and several months later, the sensei took the boy to his first tournament. Surprising even himself, the boy easily won his first two matches. The third match, however, proved to be more difficult, but after some time, his opponent became impatient and charged him, and that's when the boy used his one deft move, and he won the match. Now he was in the finals. But this time, his opponent was bigger and stronger and more experienced. And for a while, the boy seemed to be overmatched. Concerned the boy might get hurt, the referee called a timeout and was about to stop the match when the sensei intervened. "No," he said, "let the boy continue." And soon after the match resumed, his opponent made a critical mistake. He dropped his guard. Instantly, the boy used his one move to pin him, and he won the tournament. The boy had become the champion. And on the way home, he summoned the courage to ask the sensei what was really on his mind. "Sensei," he asked, "how did I win the tournament knowing only one move?" To which the sensei replied, "You won for two reasons. First, you've almost mastered one of the most difficult moves in all of judo. And second, the only known defense for that move is for your opponent to grab your left arm." What a huge leap of faith that boy took, entering that tournament, not knowing this and only knowing one move. But he trusted. He trusted, and he didn't worry. He was just like a lily growing in the field. He didn't worry what was to come next. So what's the only one move we'll ever need to know? What one move do we have to master so we can feel like those lilies? Well, the one move we need to know is moving into the presence of God. The one move is seeking. Seeking the kingdom of God. That's the one move that gives us everything we need, even if we don't have a left arm, even if we are not fully healed and whole like you think everybody else is, even if we have all we need right before us. Seeking the kingdom of God is our one move. But we have some really great tools before us, don't we? We have some really great things in this world to help us make good decisions. But what if we added seek God to that list? What if we added seeking God to our toolbox of great things? What if we did a gut check? What if after we listed all the pros and cons of something, and what if after we thought through all the different scenarios and verified all the information, asked all the right questions, what if then we did a gut check, or as I like to say, a God check? What if we asked God what God thinks? What if we asked what the God in us has to say? What does our wisdom, our inner knowing that is of God, what does that have to say and tell us? Because once we have all the facts and figures laid out before us, if something doesn't feel right, we can walk away from it without any worry or second guessing because God was in the decision. Something bigger and wiser right inside of us moved us into a space where no matter how things added up on paper, a deeper knowing was given to us that speaks way louder than any information we may have gathered. Here's how it just recently played out with me. Last summer, when I got back from my sabbatical, I met with Pastor Angie and learned of her passion to be the sole pastor of a church, which, by the way, I was on a Zoom call with her DS and a bunch of other people in her DS said she's doing wonderfully. That's when she told me she wanted to be the sole pastor of a church. She so enjoyed preaching and visiting while I was gone that she began working with our district superintendent to find a church for her to serve. And that's when I realized I had better meet with our district superintendent and with our staff parish relations committee, which is like our HR committee, to begin the process of finding someone to replace Angie. And then sometime in the fall, last fall, Kelsey's name came to me. Like a divine piece of wisdom that was just kind of sprinkled on me. Kelsey's name just kept coming to me. That was my God self speaking to me. But we Methodists have our methods, right? So I met with our district superintendent, Reverend Paul Kotke. I met with staff parish relations. I went through the entire process of everything we're supposed to do to find a new pastor. And out of all the pastors in our conference, no one surfaced. No one was panning out. Reverend Kotke presented three names to me, but the more we talked, the more we realized they weren't a fit for our church. And that's when I told Reverend Kotke about how Kelsey's name kept coming to me. I said, she's currently our children's director, but she keeps coming to mind. And then I told staff parish relations. And pretty soon, it was almost spring, and when no other clergy presented, I emailed Reverend Kotke and asked permission for SPR, Staff Parish Relations, to interview Kelsey. And he emailed me back saying, yes, hire her. And we did, and she's great. Funny thing is, after I went through all the steps and went through all the scenarios, listed all the pros and cons with our district superintendent, with staff parish relations, it seemed like we were coming up empty. And that's when I realized I had knocked on God's door and God had opened it. When I asked, I had received an answer. It had been given to me. What is God saying to you that you haven't quite seen or heard yet? As Kelsey said with the children, we have to seek. What is God saying to you? What is your gut saying to you? When was your last gut check on something? That's your God check. Because God does give us answers. And we can be just like those lilies that don't worry. And the only move we'll ever need to know to get us into that place of wisdom and deep peace and knowing is to seek the kingdom of God in everything we do. Amen.